Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, as we consider the words of prophecy from Micah, along with receiving the news of the two pregnant women in the gospel reading, it is perhaps necessary to start with a brief history lesson. Not long after King Solomon's death in 930 BC, the people of God split into two kingdoms. Ultimately, they split because of Solomon's sin of worshiping false gods on the high places. The northern kingdom retained the name Israel, but they rejected the God of their father, Israel. The southern kingdom took the name of Judah. They worshiped the one true God and maintained the temple and the sacrifices, and they were faithful, at least for a while. About 770 BC, nearing 200 years later, God sent Isaiah and Hosea to preach in the northern and the southern kingdoms, to warn them of their apostasy, to call them to repentance. About the same time, he also sent Jonah, but not to the Israelites. After that brief incident with the big fish, Jonah went to the north, to the capital city of Assyria, to Nineveh. God would later use these repentant Assyrians to come down and defeat his Israel. As Isaiah and Hosea's prophetic days were coming to a close, Micah's were just beginning. God sent him to preach both a word of encouragement and a word of warning. Here, one of the most memorable of the prophecies of the Old Testament concerning Jesus. "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth." It is to this very prophetic word that Herod's scholars turn when the wise men from the east came asking where they were to find the one who was born king of the Jews. Isaiah had already prophesied, "A virgin shall conceive and give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel." As the days drew closer for God's promised Savior to come into the world, the details from the prophets continued to get more and more specific, but not everyone was paying attention. When the northern kingdom fell to the Assyrians, there was still 700 more years before these prophecies would come true. In that time, the southern kingdom also would fall to the Babylonians. Solomon's temple would be destroyed. Many of the youth of Judah would be taken into captivity. Eventually, those prisoners would be set free, the temple would be rebuilt. But during all of this, God continued to send prophets to call his people back to him. While there was always a remnant that was faithful to him, most still refused to listen to the prophets. The last prophet of the Old Testament that God sent was Malachi. He preached until about 425 BC, and then there was no more. God was silent. He was silent for 400 years. Since his people wouldn't listen to Moses and the other prophets that he had sent, since they didn't remember the lesson of the flood or God's deliverance in the Passover and the Exodus, since they continued to go off on their own way, contrary to his word and will, what more could he do for them? And so, as Micah prophesied, he gave them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. I really don't know if there is a more terrifying thought than this: God giving up his people and letting them go their own way in their sin. Still, you must know from the word of God that while he keeps calling for us to repent, he wants all to repent and return to him. He doesn't force anyone to receive his gifts and live in his forgiveness. You also know that God wasn't really silent during those 400 years. He still was preserving his word. Many parents taught their children. They heard and believed the promises, and they looked forward to the coming Messiah. Still, to them, it must have seemed like God wasn't going to act for his people again. It's a recurring theme in the Old Testament that when God is silent, it's not a good thing. Maybe that's a little like the parent that's so exasperated that all they can do is get quiet, because anything else is going to make things much worse. Most children probably know that when mom and dad reach that point of total silence, something bad is about to happen. Sometimes, though, silence can draw our attention, and in a very powerful way. While teaching high school, I learned that a quick way to get 30 boisterous juniors and seniors to calm down and to listen to me was to simply start talking quietly to a few of the students in the front rows. Then everyone got quiet because they didn't want to miss something that was happening. Maybe that's what was happening during those 400 years of God's silence, those years between Malachi and the coming of the Savior Jesus. The anticipation for God to speak again was reaching a fever pitch. The faithful were listening and watching with great anticipation, Luke has told us. They prayed for him to keep his promises, to come and to speak to them again. And then suddenly, God was silent no more. An angel of the Lord appeared to the elderly priest Zechariah and told him of the son that he and his barren wife would conceive, how they were to name him John, how this John would lead many back to the Lord. Then only a few months later, the angel Gabriel came again, this time to Mary, calling her favored one, telling her not to be afraid, telling her that she would conceive by the Holy Spirit and bear a son and call his name Jesus. He is to sit on the throne of his father David to reign over the house of Jacob forever. This is the one, Micah said, is from of old, whose origin is from ancient days. God had given his people up for a time, but then he spoke again. And this time he sounded strangely like a little baby. He didn't send another invading army to conquer his people, not an earthly army anyway. He didn't send another earthly king or another frightened prophet for Israel to reject and kill. This time, in the fullness of time, he sent his son. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets, but now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son. In just a few days, you will hear again how all these things came to pass. How Mary and Joseph ended up in Bethlehem, Ephrathah. How the virgin gave birth to a son and named him Jesus. How Isaiah and Micah's prophecies, along with many other promises of God, were brought to fulfillment in God's perfect time. You will even hear again how all of this has been done for you. But Pastor, I know all of this. I know what God has done for me in the past. But what about now? What about today? So many things seem to be falling apart. So many demonic lies are treated as truth. Babies in the womb killed in the name of choice, freedom. Men believing they're women. Women believing they're men. Everyone doing what is right in their own eyes. So much sin and ugliness and division and death. The devil seems to be attacking from every side and he seems to be winning. Where's God in all of this today? Why does he let this continue? Will he be silent forever? I'll admit that what we see with our eyes doesn't look good. It seems like things are going to continue to get worse for those who want to be faithful to God's word. But remember, your eyes are not the organ of faith. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. This is how God works. The angel Gabriel spoke the word, and Zechariah and Elizabeth conceived a son. He spoke again, and the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. He entered her ears and conceives the Christ child in her womb. The infant John heard the word in his mother's womb, and he believed. He leapt for joy. God speaks his word, and mere water is no longer just water, but a lavish flood of new life and forgiveness. God speaks his word of absolution, and your sins are covered over with Jesus' holy blood. God speaks his word, and simple bread and wine deliver to us Jesus' true body and blood to forgive us, to strengthen and sustain us better than any earthly bread could ever do. Whether his word is heard or sprinkled on the head or consumed at his altar, it does what God has ordained it to do. The devil is doing his worst to silence God's word, whether it be increasing the riotous noise of this world or corroding and twisting that word to support ungodly things, or silencing that word by closing churches and locking people up in fear of death because of a global pandemic. But as bad as it seems, as effective as the devil seems to be at these things, God is not silent. He has not stopped speaking or acting for his people. He continues to open and hear spiritually deaf ears so that they will hear his call to repentance, be turned back to him in these days of trouble, and learn of the forgiveness of their sins in Jesus Christ. He continues to open blind eyes so that they can see the lies of the evil one, how they are being led astray, and then turn and cling to Jesus again, to his cross and death and resurrection from the dead for their salvation. He continues to lead men to be heads of households and to train up their children in the fear of the Lord. He continues to send out men into his harvest field to carry his word to the ends of the earth. He continues to lead women to rejoice in the gift of motherhood and to protect their children. He continues to lead his people to know the depth of their sins, to confess them, to ask for his mercy, and then to hear again his forgiveness and peace. Therefore, don't let the evil that you see with your eyes or the wickedness that you hear with your ears lead you into despair. Jesus has promised that he will be your good shepherd, that he will lead you and guide you to springs of living water, that he will never leave you or forsake you, and that he shall be your peace. God has called you by name through his word and holy baptism. He placed the sign of his cross on your forehead, on your heart. He put his holy name upon you, and he has forgiven your many sins against him and against your neighbors. You can't fix your sin problem, but he can, and he has. He loves you, and you belong to him. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, says the Lord. You are not your own. You have been bought at a price. Rejoice in these things, people of God. And with Mary say, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." All of those stories of the Old Testament, the history of mankind, it's such a mess, because they are real stories filled with real people who are corrupted by sin. But all of these storylines, all of those threads of the Old Testament find their conclusion and their fulfillment in Jesus, in his manger and on his cross and in his tomb and at his resurrection and in his ascension. And it is the same with the story of your life. It is filled with sin. But you have been bound to Jesus, and he has bound himself to you. He has paid the price for your sins, and you know how all of this will end for your eternal good. As we celebrate and give thanks this week for the Lord's first advent among his people, how he has fulfilled all of these promises up to this point, we are also very aware that the second advent of our King draws ever more near. By God's grace and his mercy, then, keep focusing your eyes on Jesus. Keep clinging to his cross. trust his word of forgiveness, that it is for you, that it is finished. And take and eat the supper that he has prepared. Take and eat and drink his body and blood, and rest in his mercy, and live in the one who is your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Hi, this is Pastor Ryan Wendt. You've just listened to a sermon preached at Christ the King Lutheran Church in Billings, Montana. I hope that you heard God's law that reveals your sin and his precious gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, that your sins are forgiven for his sake. These sermons are posted not as a replacement for gathering together with other believers around Christ's word and sacraments, but for our members who are away at school, at work in foreign countries, or who for some other reason are not able to be with us regularly. If you've been listening and do not have a church home, please consider contacting us through our website, and I will be happy to help you find a faithful congregation and pastor near where you live. Or if you're listening to us locally, why don't we get together for a few minutes and talk more about what we believe? If you'd like to support the work the Lord is doing through his word in this congregation and in our community, please get in touch with me through our website. The Lord's richest blessings to you this week and always in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.